Are the last Love anyone Talk here Radio. Ready the lens.
One way or the other, what is being said. you know, we have to always verify the information that we are hearing and receiving. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Have that up. Yeah, our statement of faith. And then we will pray in, and then we will continue with the video where we left off at. Brother sent me a video earlier today, and he would believe that it applied to Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. It might have been 30 and 31. I believe it's 50 and 51. Let me see real quick. But, you know, you have to be careful what you wish for or ask for. And I know a lot of brothers want the Most High to attack the U.S. or bring the U.S. down. But if we are here, when that goes on, you know, only the Most High can protect us. That would be something I would definitely be asking for afterwards. So maybe 50 and 51. If he were to come and get us, all evil and wicked nations, you know, that he's going to tear them down. But, you know, a lot of our brothers are preaching and teaching that, you know, Russia's going to come against the U.S. and China and, you know, overthrow these countries. And if they do that while we're here, they're not going to have pity on us. You know, remember that we are also captives in their land. So because they come to the United States, and if they were to do that, destroy the U.S., they would not be having pity on us as people. So, you know, I'm very leery of when I hear those things. And as you know, they believe that the U.S. is Babylon. I have a different understanding of that from the scriptures, but nevertheless, we got a lot of different things out there that our people are teaching. So we're going to continue in this film that we have been looking at. We were looking at on last. I asked you guys to look up and see if you could find in the scriptures where it was legal for Israel to have slaves, and it was illegal for a Hebrew to be a slave of another nation. It actually was a sin. And see if you find that in the scriptures. I myself forgot to look it up, but I'll find it in the scriptures, you know, because the reason that I said look it up is then you will know why the nations act toward us the way that they do. If the scripture said it's okay for us to have them as slaves, then in their mind, why isn't it okay for them to have us as slaves? And they have endeavored to do that. But the truth of the matter is we belong to the Most High, and we are the apple of his eye. And all those who have ever had us as captives, you know, there's a problem there. So I just wanted you to look out for yourself in the scriptures. If you had time to do it, fine. If you didn't, I have to hand out another grade. But we'll go ahead and finish looking at the video and discussing. Well, we'll discuss things as we go through this. So let me have all the ladies to cover their head, men uncover your head, and let us go before the Most High. I believe that all scriptures given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, or Mashiach, that strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We just magnify you on this evening, Father. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. For you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, Father. And there is none like unto you. No, not one, Father. And we just thank you. We thank you always, Father, for giving us a sound mind. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. And our scripture for this meeting is, let us do this scripture. Let me pull it up. Chapter 1, verse 5. I am black but comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar and as the curtains of Solomon. And verse, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Okay, so may the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word, the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. I am going to share my screen on this evening. How are you sisters doing?
Doing fine, Brother Mal.
Amen. Everyone else?
Yes.
I'm doing good.
All right, amen. Let me pull up the video and share my screen. Screen, let me let a little bit play and let me know if you can hear it.
Her fornication, and the woman was arrayed in purple and...
Were you guys able to hear that?
I can hear it.
All right, amen. All right, amen. Okay, so we're going to pick this up where we left off on last week, and we'll discuss it as it goes, as they make a point. We'll pause it and discuss it. And are you able to see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and start this.
Unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Verse 18 states who this woman is, and the woman which thou savest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Deuteronomy 28:64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Deuteronomy 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 28:59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Deuteronomy 28:60-61, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. The scriptures proclaim that Israel will be a disease-stricken people suffering from all types of illnesses according to these prophecies. The original black Israelites have been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, so there is hardly a nation on the globe where Israelites do not make up some percentage of their society. This happened because the Hebrews broke the laws of God and cannot therefore exist as a unified sovereign nation in the land of Israel at the present time. Wherever black Hebrews have settled, they will serve strange gods. However, the forefathers of ancient Israel were unfamiliar with these gods and religions such as Islam, Buddhism, Krishna, Christianity, New Ageism, and so forth, since most of these came into existence after the expulsion of Israel from their ancestral homeland. Again, this situation could not possibly pertain to those who call themselves Jews, since the majority of them are atheists and do not believe in gods. The Harris Poll, number 59, from October 15, 2003. Protestants, 90%, are more likely than Roman Catholics, 79%, and much more likely than Jews, 48%, to believe in God. Religious affiliation here includes many people raised as members of a religion or religious group, regardless of what they practice or believe now. Protestants, 47%, are also more likely than Catholics, 35%, to attend church once a month or more often. Only 16% of Jews go to synagogues once a month or more often. Leviticus 26:40-42, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Jeremiah 2:14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? In Isaiah 42:22, but this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. And then in Zechariah 11:5, whose possessions slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. Ron R. Moore states that slave ships made several crossings from the west coast of Africa to the Americas and Europe over hundreds of years, capturing, buying, and selling slaves. This was one of the biblical curses of Deuteronomy 28 that was placed on the Israelites. Jeremiah 17:4, and thou, Israel, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
It will never repeat in Muslim countries and any other nationality of people what happened with the black experience in America. Because these people were not totally robbed of their name, their language, their culture, their religion, and their God. They still have their original religion. They have their original land. They have their original language. They have their original religion. And whenever a man is close to his original state like that, whenever they are oppressed, you will see them rise up to fight the oppressor quicker than you will see those of us who came up in America. It's like a circus lion and a jungle lion. When you deal with a lion that's in his original habitat, you can't take him and make him jump up on the stool, make him roll over, make him roar, and then open his mouth and put your head inside of his mouth. You can't do that to a real lion, but you can do that to a lion that was raised in captivity. And when you look at the black man in America, you're looking at a lion that has been raised up in captivity. We look like a lion. We sound like a lion, but we are not a lion because our mind has been reorientated to be pussycat instead of lion.
Isaiah 42:22. But this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Black Hebrews have been robbed and stripped of their history, languages, dignity, culture, and heritage since coming to the Western Hemisphere. In fact, black Hebrews constitute the only race that was prohibited by law from practicing their original language, culture, history, and faith, in addition to having been forced to abandon their original names, all of which connected them directly to their ancestry. Of all races on earth, the black Hebrews have suffered serious psychological damage from the centuries of ruthless treatment and vicious lies. They deserve reparations for the many centuries of free, hard labor that helped to make America the richest and most powerful country on the planet. However, Scripture says that true Israel will not be restored, which means that reparations will not be forthcoming, even though America has a known history of paying reparations. For example, they paid the Indians in the form of land, money, and free tax Japanese American who was placed in camps during World War II. In addition, America and its allies paid out billions in reparations to help reconstruct the economies of the defeated German and Japanese people. In other words, governments the world over have compensated all those who were oppressed by that government system, except when it related to black people. Isaiah 1:3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Deuteronomy 28:46. And they, curses shall be upon thee, Israel, for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed, descendant, forever. In reference to Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, Christ said that all things which are written will come to pass, and that there will be wrath upon the Hebrew people before Israel is taken captive into all nations, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Daniel 9:11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Historical records indicate that around 66 A.D., the Roman Emperor Vespasian and his general son Titus attacked Jerusalem and destroyed it. The siege of Jerusalem was described as horrific, but God had prophesied this event many years before it actually happened. Many of the Hebrews in Jerusalem were either massacred or taken as captives, while some escaped to Africa. Those captured Hebrews were sold throughout the Mediterranean world as slaves, thus signaling the beginning of the Hebrew people being led captive into all nations. This is according to the predicted wrath leveled against Israel as mentioned in the scriptures. In this depiction, Roman soldiers are removing the treasures from the Hebrew temple after capturing, mastering, and exiling the nation of Israel from the land, as prophesied by God in Luke 21:24. As soon as the Hebrews began to settle in various African countries along the west and east coast, the Arab slave trade commenced, and the Hebrews were once again led as captives into Arabia, the Mideast, and North Africa. In fact, the emergence of Islam brought a revival of the slave trade. Muslim nations had been involved in the slave trade over 900 years before Europe got started in the transatlantic trading in human flesh. Islam had been dominating the slave trade from then to the 15th century, or between 1519 and 1815. The Muslims later informed the Portuguese about the people of the book, a title conferred on the Israelites from West and East Africa by the Muslims, who also pointed out that they were living in great number to the south of the desert, a people cursed of God and predestined as slaves. The Muslims also referred to Western Sudan or West Africa as Yehudi, which means the tribes of Israel. Local tribes also led black Hebrews as captives into many African states on the west and east coast of Africa. These tribesmen sold blacks to the Muslims, who in turn sold them to the Europeans, though on some occasions the tribesmen sold the Hebrews directly to the Europeans. Scripture clearly points out that Israel will be in the land of their captors until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and Jerusalem will continue to be trampled by the Gentiles. So again, according to prophecy, the Israelites as a sovereign nation cannot presently be located physically in the land of Israel. Jeremiah 17:4, "And thou, Israel, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever." Psalm 83:4, "They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Scripture reveals that the black Hebrew Israelites would lose their heritage, the knowledge of who they truly are, and the knowledge of their ancient forefathers, because their enemies will try to erase their identity. They will be called by many bywords, proverbs, and every other insulting term except Israelites or Hebrews, so as to keep their true identity hidden. When the slaves were on the plantations working, they sang Negro spirituals, which told the story of Moses, Jerusalem, Canaan, Yah, and the land of Israel long before the slave master ever introduced the Bible or Christianity to them. In other words, if the slaves were not already Israelites, where did they obtain the knowledge of these songs with their profound biblical themes? Those original slave songs contained many Old Testament themes in them, such as "Let my people go," "My home is over Jordan," and "Swing low, sweet chariot." The slave song Kumbaya, which is Hebrew, pleads, "Come by here, Yah, come by here." So again, the question is, how did black people know about God, Moses, and all the other Hebraic themes if they were not Hebrews in the first place? The answer is easy. There are extremely powerful, covetous, and wicked men who desire to rule the world. They know the scriptures very well and have done a wonderfully evil job keeping the so-called Negro ignorant of their status with God. Remember, if true Israel remains spiritually blinded, locked behind bars, or killed, the time of the Gentile rule will continue on, they believe. Deuteronomy 28:46, "And they, curses, shall be upon thee, Israel, for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed, descendant, forever." Daniel 9:11, "Have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, yea, all Israel." Israel, it is shown, has been placed under punishment by the Most High in the form of curses which are to be a sign. So those who call themselves Jews or any other group who claim Israelite lineage should fall under these curses and prophecies, since they are distinctive traits that identify the true Israelites. Another distinctive trait of the Israelites is that they will make up part of every type of religion on the planet. So any signs which can identify the modern descendants of Israel must show them to be a people who have suffered the following. 1, slavery and captivity. 2, having no power to stand against their enemies. 3, exiled into the land of their enemies. 4, scattered among all nations. 5, a very sick and disease-stricken people. 6, at the bottom socially with other races high above them. 7, lost the true knowledge of who they are and will be called by many scornful nicknames other than Israel or Hebrew. 8, packed into prisons and jails. 9, a non-prosperous people. 10, an oppressed people by their enemies. 11, very religious members of all religions. These are the signs by which the true Israelite can be identified. Therefore, any group claiming Hebrew ancestry must fit these conditions, which should affect them as a nation throughout their entire history. If the Europeans are the descendants of ancient Israel, as they sometimes claim, then these traits must be a mark of European people, showing that they were brought to Europe by their enemies as captive slaves on ships, and must be a non-prosperous people. Clearly, this has not been the reality for them or for those who call themselves Jews. But it is evident which group of people these conditions perfectly fit, black Israelites. Our Lord began his ministry in Nazareth with these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and release to the oppressed." Luke 4:18. Matthew 10:5-7. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. One of the most erroneous doctrines ever taught by the various religions today is that God cast the children of Israel away and replaced them with the Gentiles. However, according to the following scriptures, this was never the case. Isaiah 11:11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, the Caribbean. Leviticus 26:44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yah. Leviticus 26:45, but I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be Yah, for I am their Savior. Isaiah 49:14-16, but Zion said, Yah hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee unto the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Romans 11:1-2. I say then, hath Yah cast away his people? Yah forbid. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Yah hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Romans 11:25-26. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 31:36-37. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the...
Is this part four? Just a second.
Is now in the conference.
Let me check.
We didn't capture it. Okay, let me see if I can find it on YouTube.
Of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Isaiah 5:13, $3,000 was paid to eat envy, the blessing and the curse, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles in jail. Out that they were living in great number to erase their identity. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the...
Are you guys able to hear that?
Yeah, I need to.
I can hear anything. You couldn't hear anything?
I cannot.
No.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Let's see if I can download this. Because it didn't capture the whole thing and just broke it apart. Let's see. Media. Network screen. For some reason, this doesn't want to play that from YouTube. Give me a hot second here.
Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 31, 36 and 37. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. God said, if the sun and moon no longer shine in the sky, then Israel will be cast away. He also said, if the heavens above or the earth beneath can be measured, then Israel will be cast away. But since the sun still shines by day and the moon and stars by night, it can only mean that Israel has not been cast away, but still remains God's chosen people who are playing an important part in his will. Micah 5, 7 and 8 explains where Israel will be in the latter days. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as the dew from God, as the showers upon the grass, that tarry not for man, nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 3. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy...
Okay. Doesn't look like I can get this right now. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can download it. Let me download it. Just a second. As I was telling you guys before, this video is 10 years old. So, you know, it's not anything that's new and current. This is dated and okay, I downloaded it. Where'd it go? second here. I'm not actually sure what to download it. What is this thing right here? Subscribe. Okay, where did the age-restricted video, what does that mean? Oh, I think I got YouTube Pro. I think I downloaded it there. You guys are able to see through my screen, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, we won't be able to finish that one for now. It will not let me get it for whatever reason. So, from what you heard today, any questions or anything like that?
Well, it's pretty much what we've been hearing all this time.
Yeah. Anything you didn't agree with?
Well, not really. You might have to take it back so I can hear it again. But did you guys hear anything that you don't agree with? Hello.
Did they hear you?
I heard them. Did you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I said, no, I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Are we, yeah, we won't be able to finish this. I don't think I have another copy of this anywhere. What about you, Sister Lorraine?
I didn't hear anything that I didn't agree with.
Okay. Anything that you guys have questions on? What were you about to say, Sister Denise?
I was going to ask you, what did you type in when you went to YouTube to get them original move?
The original movie?
Mm-hmm.
I typed in Hebrew so-called Negro. Hebrew or so-called Negro.
Okay.
And that is, it's still on YouTube, but for whatever the reason, I am not able to copy it from YouTube right now. Let's see. Let's see. This is Hebrew Connect. All right, so
so didn't it say that that the Gentiles didn't even read the Bible or believe in Yah until, they were brought the slaves over?
I don't think he said that.
Okay.
I don't recall hearing that. Did any of you hear that?
I don't hear it. Well, you know I'm out on the limb by myself.
You're over there by yourself?
By myself.
But you're not hearing stuff by yourself, are you?
I hope not.
Oh, we didn't hear it. No.
So I guess I am by myself. I still didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it say that, but that didn't mean he didn't say it.
That's right.
It just means you picked up on it and we didn't. So let's see, what time is it? It's 6:50. Let's look at this. I had started looking at this earlier. And I know I had my DNA test done years ago, this is, a lot of people are doing this. But I think this brother said that he found a fault in the DNA test or something like that. So I have not listened to this yet. So, but you know what? I got to make sure that, let me see if I can get this. Because right now you can't hear it if it's playing from the web. Don't know how they're doing that, but. So I was able to get that. Okay, so now that I can get that, I can get the actual link to it, because I'll be trying to hide the link. Media information. So I'll just show you guys how I do this. So I put in this address, and it loaded the video.
But hey, what's up, everybody?
That's not where it's actually playing.
This is Dante. Let me mute my other.
That's not where it's actually playing from. So when this is the actual link right here. This long piece of gobbledygook.
Uh-huh.
So then I'll copy this. And go into another, open up another browser window. Copy that link in there so to play directly from that link. Bypassing YouTube.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dante. Let me mute my other.
And then I can download.
Computer over here. But if you guys can hear me, go ahead and click the one. All right, there we go. All right, if you guys can hear me, go ahead and press the one. Let me know you can hear me. I got the other computer off.
Are you guys able to hear that?
There you go.
No.
Okay, so hold on a minute. I'm actually downloading it.
All right, I'm seeing one pop up now. If you guys have not yet signed up for HebrewSphere.com, please do so. HebrewSphere.com. A lot of great conversations going on over there. And I know you guys are looking for information about certain topics. One of them is whether or not Jerusalem is in South Africa. There are discussions going on over there about that topic specifically. So, again, go to HebrewSphere.com and sign up.
Okay, while this downloads, hopefully it'll get faster. And you guys didn't hear that plane at all.
No.
Interesting. It's rattling the windows and stuff over here, and y'all can't hear it. What's wrong with y'all? So it's a pretty big video. It's taking a while to download. So I'm going to let it download, and we'll just go on to something else in the meantime. It's like 589 megabytes. And it is slowly but surely downloading. Usually it's fast. Maybe I got too much stuff open right now. I don't know. Anyway, so let's do this. What did you think about the message on this morning?
I enjoyed it. Very enlightening.
Did anybody pick up on the difference between blasphemy and just normal sin?
Yes. Blasphemy is more like willful sin.
Exactly. I think everybody else is asleep.
No, same thing that I heard. It's willful sin, and that it can be, if it's willful sin, it cannot be forgiven, and the only thing that can't be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Correct. And how many times are we forgiven for willful sin?
None.
Willful sin, none.
Okay. Willful sin, I said you can be forgiven for it one time only. When is that?
Only when it's ignorant sin.
No, willful sin is not ignorant sin.
Oh, willful sin. Okay.
So there's only one time that you are forgiven for willful sin.
In the past?
Elaborate on that.
It's for sins that you had in the past and you didn't know.
Okay. Well, what if you did know?
If you did know and if it's willful sin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you're not forgiven for it if it's willful sin.
Okay. All right, so I need to straighten out something, a certain bit of your understanding here. Remember, I kept mentioning that we had to be grateful for what Messiah did. Anybody remember hearing that? And so, Messiah, the Most High, did a work. And the only time, there's only one time in our life that we are forgiven for willful sin, and that is when we first come to Messiah. That's what the gospel is all about. So when we first come to him, we're told to what? Confess our sins and then repent. So that's the only time that your willful sin is ever forgiven. Is when you first come to Messiah. After you come to Messiah and you confess all of your sins, then after that you're not supposed to sin again, right?
Right.
Not willfully. You can sin ignorantly, and then when you learn that it's sin, then you're supposed to confess. But your willful sin, everybody's willful sin, is only forgiven one time. And that's when you first come to Messiah. So I want to make sure that we're clear on that. So that we don't undo or unteach what Messiah did or what was done. So how many times can your willful sin be forgiven?
One time.
One time. When?
To Messiah.
First come to Messiah. Okay. Is everybody clear on that now?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's important, because people will feel like if we left it the way it was, or if I left your understanding that way, then you might be teaching people if you willfully sin, it can never be forgiven. Once they come to Messiah, because let's go through the process. We're told to repent and be baptized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. And what are we repenting of?
Our past sins.
Our past sins. We can't repent for our future sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't happened yet. So it's your past sins. And can you confess something that you don't know?
No.
So whatever you're confessing, you know that it's what, sin?
Hmm, right, yeah.
I hope that's making sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whatever you're confessing, you know that it's sin. That's why you're confessing it. And why is it I cannot find this window where we're at? Interesting. Give me a hot second here, because I can hear y'all, but I can't see y'all. Window. Oh, jump to a different screen. Okay. So, when we come to Messiah, Messiah said, repent. Everyone to be baptized and confess your sins. And he is true and just to forgive us our sins. When we first come to him, we first hear the gospel and then we repent. We're confessing things that we know are sin, because we can't confess it if we don't know about it. And if we don't know what, you know, that something is a sin, we may be doing it and not know that it's a sin.
Right.
And then the day that we learn that it's a sin, we can confess that, and he is true and just to forgive us. Okay. Now, when we do that, then all of our sins from that point and back are forgiven. All of our willful sin. That's why he said, let's go to that verse in Scripture. While this is downloading. So I really want you guys to be clear on this. Okay, Matthew 12:31. And I think you should be able to still see my screen. Is everybody still able to see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and what?
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy. And so I taught us that blasphemy is willful what? Sin. That's according to Numbers 15:30, that blasphemy is willful sin. So he says all manner of sin and all manner of sin and blasphemy, which is willful sin, shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. So when we first come to Messiah, then we are able to confess our blasphemy. Does everybody understand that? Y'all awful quiet.
Yes.
When we first come, we can confess that, and he is true and just to forgive us that one time. Now let's go to Hebrews 10. Because we know that blasphemy is what? Willful sin?
Mm-hmm.
For if we sin how?
Willfully.
After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So when we first come to him and we confess our sins, even our willful sins will be forgiven. Now, but now we're in the what? Truth? We know better? So if we do it after that, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there is no more blood for that. So the beauty of salvation is that under Torah law, if you committed blasphemy against the Most High, and this would only be in Israel, at that time because the nations didn't have this understanding or this truth. In Israel, if you blasphemed against the Most High, what happened to you?
You got killed, dead, stoned to death.
You got killed, whether it was stoned to death or burned by fire, however, you know, the Most High said to do it. You were killed. In the New Testament, the Most High understanding that all men have sinned and all men have blasphemed, he makes a provision that we can come to Messiah and confess that the first time. And he is true and just. So this 1 John 1:9-6. Yeah, 1 and 9. This applies when only two times. There's only two situations this applies if we confess our sins. When we first come to Messiah, we can confess all of our sins, both ignorant and willful. Because if not, nobody would ever be able to be saved, would they?
No.
If we weren't able to confess our willful sin and our ignorant sin, which we've more than likely, look at it this way, more than likely when you come to confess your sin the first time, can you confess ignorant sin?
No.
Why?
Because
you don't know it. So this really has to apply to what? Willful sin? Sins that you know? Now, after you have come to him and you've been baptized and you're spirit-filled, what have you, and you find out that something you're doing or not doing is a sin, then you're supposed to do what?
Confess it
and turn away from it. Repent of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say I'm a sinner and keep on doing it.
Oh, no.
So you confess it, you repent of it, you turn away from it. He says, I'm true and just to forgive you for that. But then, if it's something that you know is sin, that's a blasphemy, it's willful, he says you can't confess that. Because you did something you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway. Then he put you up under a death penalty. He said you deserve something worse than death. So we got to understand that process. So that when you're telling people, you know, the thing is not to take hope away from people. That's not the gist of this. It's to give them what the truth in the scriptures. And so that for those new saints, those new people who are coming into the Word, who are just hearing the gospel, that they get a correct understanding from the beginning. They don't have to make the same mistake we made. They don't have to be taught in error. And that's the goal of this. So that whoever you're talking to or you're teaching, that you teach them correctly. And then they are, let me ask a question, and I want each of you to answer this. Before you heard this teaching, was this your understanding?
Before you heard the what?
Before you heard about willful and ignorant sin, was it your understanding that you could just come and confess any time and all the time?
No.
So what was your understanding?
So just like you said, once you come into the knowledge of the truth, then you cannot do the willful sin.
Okay. So that was always your understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that always your understanding, Sister Denise?
No, my my understanding was if you confess your sin, the Father is true and just to forgive you.
Okay, whether they were willful or ignorant.
Right. That's what I was.
Yeah, that's the thing. They never told us about the willful and presumptuous sin. We were never taught that.
Right.
I know I wasn't.
I
wasn't
either.
If they taught you that, so my second question is this. If they taught you that from the beginning, would you be more apt not to have sinned?
Yes.
Okay. Did it set a different expectation? Knowing it now, does it set a different expectation in you?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay. All right. So that was the goal. For those that didn't know, that it set a different expectation. But when you tell somebody and you're teaching somebody, that you also set the same expectation in them. You tell them the same way so that they know from the beginning not to do what we were taught that it was okay to do.
Right.
Because it's not okay. The whole goal of and not to take away, you know, make people feel like they can't be saved if they have no understanding of it, the correct understanding of it, then you are going to give it to them the correct way the first time because this is not the way that I was taught. I just thought, hey, if you sin, you can just confess it.
That's right.
And, you know, no such thing as willful or ignorant sin. You know, the pastors, none of the teachers ever broke that down.
True.
And so when the Most High showed it to me, I, you know, like I said, I had to be the first one to repent of it and, you know, and tell the Most High, I'm so sorry because this is not what I was taught. And like, I tell everybody, I won't know if he accepts my repentance and my of this until what? I see him in the kingdom. I see him at the judgment seat. Too late. And there will be nothing I could say. And that's the bottom line. So I don't want anyone else that is not learned to fall into that same trap. That is the whole goal. I don't want them to fall into the same trap. You know, they should be getting the truth of it and be able to act according to that. Now, if you tell them the truth and you teach it to them the correct way and then they go ahead and do it anyway, is that on you?
No.
Not on you. You did what you were supposed to do.
Yep.
Going to be a lot of blood on a lot of pastors' hands.
No.
Because they're not teaching the truth that is there. So that's you know, that's what I really want you guys to know and to do. Set the correct expectation from the beginning. You know, if it's with family, you know, set that expectation. That understanding that, hey, when you come, you understand what sin is and you're not going to continue in it. Especially for things that you know or you can't confess what you don't know. So as you learn right from wrong, what's sin and what's not sin, then if you find yourself doing it, then you confess. The Messiah says he will forgive you. But if you confess something and you know it was wrong, you confess it, and then you find yourself falling back into it, then notice what the scripture says from the beginning.
Right.
I've had too many teachers and too many people over the years, you know, say things to me, and then as I was reading this, and the Most High was, you know, literally showing it to me, I'm like, wow. You know, people say they get saved and they're still struggling with what? Some sins that they confess? They're still struggling with it. And they believe that they have time to, what, correct it?
No.
But that's not what the scriptures say. So, you know, so that, you know, they don't get sucked into the same trap. And when he showed me that it was blasphemy, because if I had called you a blasphemer and didn't explain it to you, what would be your feeling?
See, that was blasphemy. A blasphemer is.
Huh?
I know what you called me.
Wait a minute, say that again, my sister.
I'll be trying to figure out what blasphemy is so I know what you called me.
Amen. That's fair. Amen. Because if I called you something that you didn't know exactly what it was, then you need to find out then, right? Or ask me, right?
Right.
Do you think in your mind that it would have been a, if I had called you a blasphemer, that you would have had from the beginning a positive thought about that? Would you have taken it as a compliment?
Nope.
It doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good. No. What sounds worse? You're a sinner or you're a blasphemer?
Blasphemer.
Because of the connotation that we've been taught about it, right?
Right.
But I think, and it's just my, you know, my feeling on this, I think with anything else, if you hear yourself called something enough, you become desensitized to it. So if somebody says you're a sinner enough, if you hear it enough, then and you're going to become desensitized to it. Your skin will thicken up, and it won't affect you as it did the first time you heard it. Now, that's human nature. So you can, you know, beat somebody over the head with something, and they will start to become, what, desensitized to it?
Yeah.
It don't have the same effect. And I think that is the way the world has gotten with the word sin or a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner, so what? Everybody's a sinner.
Right.
It's a way to justify their actions. But I guarantee you, go call somebody you know that's a believer and call them a blasphemer and see what they say. You might pull out their 45. No, it is considered to be far, what, worse?
Yeah.
In connotation. But then when we really find out what it actually is, then it really is, it's a serious matter. But I guarantee you, it applies to about 99% of the people on this planet. It applies to about 99% of the people. You don't have to say what you did, but anybody in here ever do something, ever do a sin they know was a sin and still did it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, me included, okay? So, that lets us know if there's four or five of us here and chances are we all did it, what do you think the chances are that everybody else in the church has done it?
100%.
It's pretty close. I'll give it 99. I'll say there may be somebody that hasn't done it. I don't know them, but there might be. So I'm not going to make an absolute. So we are in trouble.
Big trouble.
Because we have taken the scripture and made it convenient to us. If you were to call, you know, if I were to call one of my sisters or my oldest brother, one of my siblings, and say, you know what, you are just so guilty of blasphemy, we got good relationships. They probably wouldn't talk to me for a long time.
Oh.
who are you to call me a blasphemer? I already know how they would react. Because if I said it to them without them having context, it would almost be like I call one of my sisters a bee. They would take it like that. So I know how people react to this. I know when I have told pastors this, and I have not told, you know, showed this to any other pastors yet. I'm going to, but I haven't yet, because typically they don't respond well. And then for the most part, not all of them, but some of them will come back later and say, okay, you got me. And I said, okay, you know, as long as you can see it, what you do with it, that's on you. My job is to show you. So I know I'm going to call a couple of my brothers that are on the East Coast and talk to them concerning this and show them, in the, you know, what this means. Because when he says all manner of sin and blasphemy, then people really have to ask themselves, how did I blaspheme? Am I a sinner or am I a blasphemer? Because it says sins and blasphemy, right? So we might think, if we think that blasphemy is only what, talking against the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Then we might not think that we're what, guilty of blasphemy? We're just guilty of sin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But when we understand, according to the scripture, that willful sin is blasphemy, then we can see how that verse can apply to what, all of us. And we can see how much he has actually, what, forgiven us. Because if we confess it, once we learn it, and I implore all of you, you've not gone back and, you know, said to Yah, yes, it's me, I've done it, and repented of it, then I implore you to do so. You put yourself in at his mercy, because we are, you know, we all just confessed we were guilty of it. So we are all at his mercy. And we have to be, how am I going to say this? It has to be a what? Sincere repentance, because we understand the gravity of it, and we were taught in ignorance and we did it ignorantly, but now that we know, we're not gonna willfully just go in sin. And I pray that he's merciful, but I won't know. You know, I don't claim that, you know, he has forgiven me. I won't know that until I go before the judgment. But I know I got to tell everybody else, because this is something critical. Okay, let me see if this thing is finished downloading. I just wanted to see what you got out of this morning's message. And I'm glad that I asked that so I can make sure that we are not doing, you know, and saying what we were saying, that we have understanding in it. Okay. I think this is finished downloading. Let me see if I can get it to play. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dante. Let me mute my other computer.
All right, were you able to hear that?
Yeah.
That is weird. I don't know how they're doing it. I thought I understood technology pretty well, but they got me miffed on that one. I don't know how they're doing that. I really have to do some research on that to find out, so let me find this video and maximize it. Okay, there we go. So you guys can still see my screen, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is about DNA, the DNA test. And this is guy's, you know, testimony, and I don't know what he's going to say and what he's not going to say. So we're both all hearing it, you know, together.
Over here. But if you guys can hear me, go ahead and click the one.
And let's see.
All right, there we go.
All right, Sister Denise, if you'll mute your...
All right, if you guys can hear me, go ahead and press the 1. Let me know you can hear me. I got the other computer off, so...
Okay, so now we don't have an echo.
There we go. Let me get everything back the way I had it. All right, I'm seeing ones pop up now. If you guys have not yet signed up for HebrewSphere.com, please do so. HebrewSphere.com. A lot of great conversations going on over there. And I know you guys are looking for information about certain topics. One of them is whether or not Jerusalem is in South Africa. There are discussions going on over there about that topic specifically. So, again, go to HebrewSphere.com and sign up. Now, for those of you watching, go ahead and hit the like button, the thumbs up button. Make sure you click the subscribe button. If you want to be notified when I post new videos, make sure you click the notification bell and turn on all notifications.
All right. I just tried to go to that site, HebrewSphere.com. It cannot be reached. So you probably won't be able to go there.
So that way you will get the message in advance. All right. I'm going to be doing a Christmas study, by the way, for those that have been asking. I am going to be doing a study on that because it's coming to that season and people are asking questions. So I'm going to address that topic as well. For those that want to support, you can do so at patreon.com/DanteFortson. Shout out to the patrons. They were a major part of making the app happen. They were the first ones to jump on board and support the Kickstarter as well. So today, oh, you know what? Let me finish. PayPal as well. You can do that if you want to support via PayPal. And the Super Chat. Click the dollar sign or the S in the chat, and you guys can support via the Super Chat while we are live. All right. Yeah, I see that over there, M. Kyle. I was just watching Berean before I came over to here. Yeah. I'm going to address some of the stuff that has been said by Elder Mike. Matter of fact, Elder Mike is invited to come on, so if he does watch this later, because I know Elder Mike pops in here every once in a blue moon, so I don't know how often he watches, but Elder Mike is definitely welcome to join me on that show so we can discuss the topic. So if anybody has Elder direct contact with Elder Mike, maybe Sister E or somebody, I'll reach out to Elder Mike, see if he wants to come on, and we can do a discussion about Christmas and the Bible and see, you know, what Scripture has to say. All right, so anyway. Let's see. I think that was the last of the announcements. I think a conversation between me and Elder Mike might be a little interesting. I'm pretty sure he did. So anyway, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to explore my DNA with you guys, and I'm going to show you guys a little bit of my process. I started the journey. So let me give you a little bit of background before I get too far in. I'm going to be using blackhistoryinthebible.com tonight a little bit. So this study is brought to you by blackhistoryinthebible.com. If you guys have not visited the new version of it yet, please do so. So basically, there are a lot of people who are interested in DNA and where it's going to lead. And I'm one of those people. And so let me go ahead and turn these comments, because y'all are distracting. let me see. All right, so let me turn these comments off. All right, so now, yeah, I see you, Minister Yacoba. I'm aware of that. So a lot of people are interested in DNA, and I'm one of them. And I think the journey is an interesting journey. So I've been talking a lot to Tao Ministries. I've been talking a lot to E. And I've been doing a lot of reading and Googling and researching. And so I said, you know what, let me just go ahead and bring everybody in on this interesting journey, because I know some of you guys have questions out there about what certain stuff means. And I'm no expert, so don't think that I'm an expert in any way, shape, or form. I ask a lot of questions that may seem like dumb questions to people who are experienced with this. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to ask those dumb questions. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to look up stuff. And I'm just going to go on the journey. Now, part of the reason is we all know that our slavery, our ancestors were kidnapped, brought to this country, and then they were split up so that the family history was lost in addition to all the other history. And then they were given an identity. They were told they were Negroes. They were told they were African-American. They were told they were Black and every other name that they came up with for us. We've been told that we descend from Hamites or Ham. We've been told that we were cursed to be slaves forever. And understand that I don't believe a lot of the stuff that we are told, and you guys know that, such as the reason we are or were enslaved. Our ancestors were enslaved and we're still oppressed to this day. I don't believe the reason that they gave us. They said because we were Hamites and we were cursed in Genesis 10, and yet we see a curse on Semites as well to go into slavery. And we see the Semite slavery is distinguished by going into slavery into all nations. That is not a curse on Ham per se, as a sign upon Ham forever. And we'll see that, I'm not even going to get into it during this journey, but the curse on Ham was really the curse on Canaan, not Ham, not all the sons of Ham, specifically Canaan. So part of that makes me want to take the journey and say, okay, what is the truth? Why were we taken into slavery? Why were the family histories scattered? Why were the families scattered and split apart? Why was the language erased? Why was any kind of reference to our history erased? Why were we given an identity by somebody else? Why do they get so mad when we want to check out that identity when everybody else has their identity? You can go to Koreatown. You can, thank you, M. Kyle's in the super chat. You can go to Chinatown. You can go to Little Italy. You can go to all these places. You can eat Mexican food. You can eat Chinese food. You can have Puerto Rican food. You can have all kinds of different foods and dances and festivals that are associated with everybody's culture. But as soon as we start to look, there becomes this resistance, this hateful resistance towards us for even daring to look at our identity outside of anything we're told to look at. And to me, it seems like another system of control. And so if we're looking for the truth, we have to add that in. Now, another reason is because my mom is adopted. Many people don't know this, but my mom is adopted. So she has no immediate family history outside of my grandparents, who are her adoptive parents. And so because my mom didn't have that history, she's always been curious. Now, I wasn't so much curious as to who my biological grandparents were or any of this other stuff. I didn't really become interested in any of it until I started the journey of this awakening and then realizing that we are Israel. And so as this journey progressed for me, I became more interested in DNA. And so I got my DNA done, and then last week or the week before, I got my results back. So that's what led up to all of this stuff going on right now. All right, we got 236 people in here. Go ahead and hit that like button. So I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be trying to do this with two computers right now. I got a tablet and I got my laptop. And I'm going to try to make this happen with as little mess ups as possible, because I'm going to draw on this map that I have, because I bought this little pen or whatever. And I'm going to draw on the map, and I'm going to save the map because this is going to be done in a couple of parts. I'm not going to go through all of my DNA in this one episode. Now, understand it. Next episode, I'm going to have some guests and probably on episode 3 as well. All right, so what is my agenda? I do want to lay this out first. My agenda, because people always, what's their agenda? So my agenda is to determine if there is any reason at all whatsoever for me to believe that I'm an Israelite. And that's going to be based on DNA, maps, history, evidence, whatever comes up. Then, we'll go from there. First, we're going to determine whether or not there's any reason to believe that myself or really anybody else with some of these masking results are Israelites. So let me go ahead and share this screen right here. All right, give me a second here. All right, so I'm going to be using Black History in the Bible a little bit for this. If you guys have not been on there, you can go to blackhistoryinthebible.com. More specifically, I'm going to use the OmniDex over here. Let's see. There we go. We'll come back to that. All right, so when I got my DNA results, let me go ahead and close this. All right, so I got my DNA results. They just recently updated this, so I'm not going to click the before. I'm already on the after. And so here's my DNA mix, 100% right here. You see Europe, you see sub-Saharan Africa, and you're going to see a little bit of Asia over here. Now, we're going to go through each of these because I think these are important to look at, because the whole journey is about really looking at every aspect of this, because those that don't believe we're Israelites and those that don't accept the notion that we're Israelites, they like to say that we're making this stuff up. They like to say that we have no grounds, we're just stealing somebody else's culture. But I did notice a few things that stood out to me. I haven't seen anybody else touch on it when they went over their DNA results. Later on, I'm going to show you guys some emails from GEDmatch as well. So let's start here. Sub-Saharan African. Now, people throw this word around a lot. They will say, well, you're Sub-Saharan African, you're not Israelite. So what is Sub-Saharan African? So what I did was, now many of you already know exactly what Sub-Saharan African is, but for those that don't, the first thing I did was Google Sub-Saharan African or Africa. So now we see on this map right here, this is Sub-Saharan Africa. All of this is considered Sub-Saharan Africa. So if we come back over here, we see it's marked out over here. So all of this, including South Africa, is considered Sub-Saharan Africa. So this is important because later on when we get to GEDmatch, we're going to talk about some claims that were made that we shouldn't have used certain tests because we're Sub-Saharan African or West African. So Sub-Saharan Africa is all of this. Now, when you get down to here, West African is the major portion. Now it's going to show what parts of West Africa. So the first one is Nigerian, 47%, so 77.2% West African, 89.8% overall Sub-Saharan African. So my DNA is made up of stuff out of this entire area over here, which includes South Africa, where the Lemba are, by the way. It includes that area. But now West African makes up 77.2%. The majority of that right here is Nigerian. So I said, okay, since you guys know my agenda is to see whether or not there are Nigerian Jews. Let's see. I'm going to look up Jews in Nigeria. Now we have a Wikipedia article, The History of Jews in Nigeria. We have the Igbo Jews, Lost and Found Jews of Nigeria. How Nigeria's Jews are getting caught in a new separatist, I can't see the rest, Messianic Jews to Nigerians. You're not real Jews. So we have a bunch, Nigerian Jews, Lost Tribe of Israel, this is CNN. So I wanted to check this. So over here, CNN has an article from 2013 about the Nigeria's Igbo Jews being a lost tribe of Israel. So now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to start right here. It says, in a country of 162 million people, tensions often lead to violent uprisings between Christians and Muslims, and being part of the religious minority can be an issue. But Abor wears his kippah and his identity with pride. I am a Jewish Igbo, he says. The Igbo are one of Nigeria's largest ethnic groups, with population estimates ranging from 20 to 50 million. Abor is convinced that the Igbo's ancestors were Jews. Okay, so now there's a group of people in Nigeria that traces their lineage to the people of the book. So now, if I'm being honest and saying, okay, do I have a reason to believe I'm Israelite? Yes, there is a reason, because 48% of my DNA, according to 23andMe.com, 47% of my DNA comes from this area. But it doesn't stop there. Let me show you guys. Let me see if I can pull this up without messing up anything over here. I'm going to share my screen with you guys in a second. Let's see. There we go. Okay. All right, cool. That is working. All right, so I'm going to share this screen with you guys now. You guys know this course, Cambridge University Press, Black Jews, the Religious Challenge of Politics versus Religion. So we've come across Nigeria. We've seen the Igbo. So let's look at, let me see here. Let me see if I can, oh, yeah, okay, find on this page. There we go. All right, so now, Nigeria. All right, so we have a reference to Nigeria here. And right there. This is the one I want, page 235. Hopefully you guys can see that. I'm using my tablet now, and I don't use this thing. I just got it recently, so I'm not too familiar with it. So I'm trying not to mess nothing up. All right, right here it says, in southern Nigeria, the natives called Black Jews, strange people, on the Imo Yo Kain. They are called the Benai Ephraim, the sons of Ephraim. They claim that their ancestors came from Morocco, reported by Gadi, who noted that their language is a mixture of Maghrebian Arab, ancient Hebrew, and local Patois. For example, Abu, meaning father, became Yaba, whom for mother is close to the Hebrew word. The Imo Yo Kain Jews live in the Ondo district and have a copy of the Torah. So now, this is from, again, Cambridge University. So there is reason to, there is evidence to support the Nigerian claim that the Igbo are Jews. We have this here. But is there any more evidence to support this? Give me a second here. I'm gonna pull up something else for you guys. All right, let me go over here and share my screen again from the other computer. All right, so now we're going to come over here to the BHITB, the Black History in the Bible Omnidex, and we're going to click Nigeria and see what information is in the Omnidex on Nigeria. So all the information that is on blackhistoryinthebible.com has not been cataloged to this new layout yet, but it will be. So now we have one right here, Jews inhabited both sides of the Niger River. Let's go look at this source. Now this source is from Africa, being an accurate description of the regions of Egypt, Barbary, Libya, Belgrade, all that. This is John Ogilvie, 1600. And you guys can click this, and it'll take you to the, if you click the source, it'll take you directly to the University of Michigan website. So this is the University of Michigan website. You guys can verify it, so it's not just take Dante's word for it because it's on his site. It tells you where to look for it, page 34. This is the quote that is pulled off of that page. It says, many Jews are also scattered over this region, some natives boasting themselves of Abraham's seed, inhabiting both sides of the river Niger. Others are Asian strangers who fled thither, either from desolation of Jerusalem by Vespasian or from Judea, wasted and depopulated by the Romans, Persians, Saracens, and Christians. So right now, we're going to stop right there because we don't need to read the rest of this for the moment. So now, they inhabit both sides of the Niger River. So we have evidence that there are people who claim to be Jews in Nigeria. We have a reference from Cambridge that there are Jews in Nigeria called the Sons of Ephraim. We have now another reference from the 1600s that said that there were Jews on both sides of the Niger River. So let's see where the Niger River is. Let's find a map. So the Niger River, if we can make it, here's a bigger map. Hopefully you guys can see that. That's kind of blurry. All right, there we go. That's better. So this is Nigeria here, this country. This is going to be Benin, Togo, and Ghana. So both sides of the Niger River, meaning that there's supposed to be Jews over here and over here, however far out they go, over in this area. And some of you guys are going to recognize this area when we look at a couple of these maps. Now, we got evidence back to the 1600s, at least, that there were Jews inhabiting these areas over here. And we have it from two different universities. Now, let's go over here. This is the map, the Emanuel Bowen map, the 1747 map. This is on the Library of Congress website. So again, let me drop a couple of these links in here for you guys that want to go check this stuff out later. Give me a second, I'm gonna drop this link. And here we go. All right, so I dropped those links. I'm not paying attention to the chat, so moderators, if you have a wrench, don't be afraid to put people in timeout if necessary. All right, so now with the Emanuel Bowen map, we see the area of the Niger River. We see that the Niger River is going to come over into, let me make sure, we're going to come back over here. So now the Niger River is going to come down through here, and then right about this little part over here is where it's going to end at. So it comes around here. Now, what's interesting is that when it says both sides of the Niger River, how much of it does it encompass? Does it encompass this much? Does it encompass everything in here? Does it encompass everything on this side and around about here, this whole area? We don't know. It just says both sides of the Niger River. So for the sake of argument, we'll just assume it's over on here and here since we're talking about Nigeria and the area. But later on, we're going to show you guys there's reason to believe that there's even more and it covers a bigger area, but one step at a time. All right, so now we have the Slave Coast, which most of you guys are familiar with, Kingdom of Judah or Wida. So now that presents an interesting question. Who is Widow? Who is Judah? And we've gone over this before. So let's see. I think I have some information in here. We'll just search Judah on blackhistorythebible.com. Judah in West Africa. And in here, right here, undeniable proof that the tribes of Judah, Levi, and Reuben, and Simeon were black. So we'll just open this up in a new tab. And I'll close this one down. And there's a link down here. This one right here. So we're going to go to this link. And this is the 1890 link that I've showed you guys before, where it talks about Wida, Fida, Judah. And we'll just do it again. For those who have not seen the translation yet, this is a French document that talks about the Judah on the west coast of Africa. And I'll just let you guys read it French to English. Copy, paste. It says, Wida, Fida, Weda, Awida, Judah, or Ajuda, is a city old, frequented since the 16th century by Portuguese slavers who gave it its name. Its inhabitants were said to be Judaquays, and they were indeed considered to be a remnant of the scattered tribes of Israel to the north, the Alala River, whose real name is Ephra, had become Euphrates. So right there it says they were indeed considered to be a remnant of the scattered tribes of Israel. So now that goes back to that article we just looked at that said the Igbo claimed to be the lost tribes or descendants of the lost tribes. So let me go back and share my screen real quick with you guys. And now we're going to use blackhistorythebible.com to see what information we can find on the Igbo real quick. So again, now all of this isn't done. This is all experimental. So now the Igbo, first thing that comes up, Henry Kissinger, 1969. Henry Kissinger right here in his memorandum to the president. You guys can click it right here. U.S. State Department Archives. right here, U.S. Department of State archive memorandum to the president. Henry Kissinger says the following. Biafra, 3,000 square miles, 4 to 6 million. Colonel Ojukwu, 35, British trained, erstwhile playboy, presides over the popular support and military morale of people convinced that defeat means extinction. The Igbos are the wandering Jews of West Africa, gifted, aggressive, westernized, at best envied and resented, but mostly despised by the mass of their neighbors in the Federation. So now, I believe we have sufficient evidence to support that at the bare minimum, I should at least be curious as to whether or not I'm an Israelite based solely on the evidence that we've seen so far. So now I'm going to attempt to show you guys a map on my other, on my tablet. Hopefully this goes well. All right, let's see here. Okay, perfect. All right, so I got the map pulled up. Let me see if I can go ahead and share with you guys over here. All right, so now I have this map pulled up. And I don't like that I can't use my fingers to move it, so I have to use this, this pen. All right, so now in this area over here, we have, I'm going to use red. We have the Slave Coast. So we have the Slave Coast over here, which is going to become the Kingdom of Benin and Togo. Judah right here, let me just mark on the map. All right, so we have this area right here. You got a Slave Coast. It's going to come around to Nigeria and all this over here, right? So now you got a Slave Coast over here. This is Judah or Whitta. Unfortunately, it does not have the rivers marked on this map. So let me go ahead and save this real quick so I don't mess nothing up. Now, we're going to come back in a second to West Africa. Now, also on this same map, I want to mark this now while I'm over here looking at it. We'll come back to here. Lamlim. This area right here is said to be inhabited by Jews. This is 1766 Duke of Orleans map. Now, in addition to that, there's one more area right here. Over here it says the Falasha Jews were exiled, and it calls this the Wandering Tribe. So we'll just circle this area right here with the Falasha Jews. So now we have maps over here that show the Kingdom of Judah right over here. I don't want to touch the map because then all of a sudden it makes it right and then I have to erase stuff. But anyway, so you have the Kingdom of Judah down here on the coast. Right above that, you have this area right here inhabited by Jews and Lamlim. And then over here to the east, you have the Falasha Jews in this area. So we see three semi-close places in Africa where the Jews were. All right, let's go down. All right, let me stop saving that. Now, we're going to go back to my my DNA in a second. All right. So now we're going to tie all this stuff together in a little bit later. So now, Nigeria, right here, 47%. The next one is going to be Ghanaian, Liberian, and Sierra Leonean. Now, we looked at the map before, but let me just go back to, let's pull up a Ghana map. All right, and let's see. All right, so Ghana, I want to get something closer so you guys can see it a little bit better. Yeah, this one works. So you have Nigeria over here, Benin, Togo, Ghana. Let's see. Should have pulled up. You know what? Let me go back. Let's see if I can pull up the original map we had when we first started. All right. So you got Nigeria, Benin, Togo, and Ghana. So my people are going to be probably from here all the way over to here, Ghana, right there. Okay. So, yeah, all this is probably going to be somewhat mixed up in my DNA. So now, since we have Ghana, let's see if we have any information or can find any information on Ghana Jews. House of Israel is a Jewish community located in Sefwi, Wiaswo, in southwestern Ghana. This group of people of the Sefwi tribe built a synagogue in 1998. Many of the men and children read English, but no one knows Hebrew. So now, here's another one, History of the Jews in Ghana. Ghana Virtual Jewish History Tour. This is from the Jewish Virtual Library. So let's look over here. All right, so here we go. It says, the first traces of Judaism in Ghana appeared in 1976, thanks to a Ghanaian man named Aaron Ahometre, I can't pronounce that, living in the community of Sefwi Sui in western Ghana. Had a vision, I'll call him T, had a vision and spoke with spirits, driving him to believe that he and his fellow Ghanaians were indeed descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. So he spoke with a spirit that told him he was a descendant of the tribe of Israel. That's kind of interesting. He saw a clear connection and many similarities between his people's practices and those of Judaism. For example, it was tradition of Sefwi for Saturday to be a day of rest. Such a strong tradition that Sefwi that didn't adhere to it were frequently punished. Sefwi also followed the Jewish dietary law, restricting the consumption of pork. Members of the male community were circumcised in youth. He was first viewed as crazy, but over time, his vision became more and more readily accepted. Interesting. All right, so we find that interesting tidbit of information right there. So now I'm going to be switching over to my computer because I saw something. Now let me make sure I get this right. I saw something in this Cambridge document that made me start to ask some questions. Give me a second here. I'm searching for something real quick just because it'll be easier to find it this way before I switch over. There we go. All right, now I'll go ahead and show you guys my screen. So now this is about Ghana. Same Cambridge source. We'll move this out the way. All right, so now when it says, were there black slaves who were Jewish through religion that maintained the faith of their ancestors after they had been forcibly transported to America? Only through an analysis of the mythology of the Jewish African origins of the black Hebrews will this become clear. The following are major sources that need to be considered in such an analysis. So now the reason I'm reading this is because it sets a standard. Cambridge is a university. Author Ulysses S. Santamaria is talking about the standard for which you need to consider whether or not someone is of that origin. And it's not DNA. That is not the standard because this book was written before DNA. And it's important to know these standards because you see these in communities that they're going to have some of these attributes. It says A, witnesses. I'm sorry, so let me start over. It says, only through analysis and mythology of the Jewish African origins of the black Hebrews will this become clear. The following are major sources that need to be considered in such an analysis. A, witnesses, tales of the explorers who mentioned the existence of communities of black Jews on the African continent and particularly in areas where the slave ships picked up black slaves. So we saw earlier that there is reason to believe there were tales of Jews on both sides of the Niger River. Cambridge University says this number one thing that needs to be considered, witnesses and tales. I showed you guys the map from 1766 made by Emmanuel Bowen. I showed you guys another map where Emmanuel Bowen was called in to help, and it was for the Duke of Orleans. So now we have multiple people saying that there were Jews in these parts of Africa where slaves came from. B, rites and customs, which have more or less explicit analogies with those of Judaism. We mentioned in the article, in Ghana, they circumcised, they followed the dietary laws, and they observed the Sabbath. So now we're seeing that there is cause to look deeper into this, especially concerning my personal DNA. So far, Nigeria and Ghana have turned up things that equate them to being Israelites or the lost tribes. C, the semantics and the dialectology of some African societies reveal some features comparable with those of Judaism. Semantics, or the words, dialect, the dialectics, the dialectology, the dialect, there we go, all them words. We just read that they spoke a mixture of Maghrebian Arab, ancient Hebrew, and local Patois. So the dialect is there, so there's still reason. All right, clear that off. And D, the deductions and conclusions of anthropological and sociological work done in Africa. We're going to get to some of that later. But so far, the DNA points to it. Now, if I continue reading down, let me see. Okay. I'm going to read down to just the first paragraph because this is directly associated with the Ghana information we found. It says, it is well known that 1,500 years before Islam, Judaism was present in Africa. Travelers' tales and the stories of Africa, the Sahara, and the Sudan provide considerable evidence of the existence of Jewish communities on the African continent. We know that from the time of St. Jerome, a chain of Jewish commercial towns stretched almost uninterrupted from Mauritania to India. St. Augustine learned Hebrew in Tandem, where there was a Judeo-Syrian colony which came from Cyrenaica. These groups went as far as Akkar in the southern Sahara, and according to the Chronicles of the Sudan, the dynasty of the kings of Ghana originated in this group. So now there's Ghanaian kings mentioned, or kings from Ghana. Jewish contacts and influences with Black Africa were also noted by Arab geographers Ibn Khordadeb and El-Bikri, who stated that the roots of the trans-Saharan trade, in which Jewish caravans and interpreters were involved, culminated in Ghana in the lower valley of the Senegal River. In the 12th century, El-Adrisi, the Andalusian geographer, also cited the Hebrew colony of Lamlam, located 200 miles from Timbuktu, and the existence of two Jewish towns on the Niger. So once again, we have a reference to the Jewish towns on the Niger. We have the reference to Lamlam, or Lamlam, which I showed a second ago. I'll show that in a minute. Matter of fact, let me see if this will work. All right, jump over to share my screen real quick, and then I'll jump back to the other one. All right. No, not this one. Oh, you know what? It is on my other one. Never mind. It's on the one I'm already on. I'm going to have to switch after I read this. Okay. So now, it says, then one century later, Haji and Agwadi added this. There is a race of people in Togert called Maja Haraya who are converted Jews. Their women speak Hebrew in order to not be understood. From this period onwards, there is a very significant Jewish influence throughout North Africa to such an extent that Dominican missionaries had to learn Hebrew and Arabic. So it's interesting that they're saying that these colonies were already in West Africa, but later on, the influence came to North Africa. All right, so now, stop sharing my screen. And let me stop sharing. No, I don't want to stop sharing. Okay. So now I'm going to take you guys back to the map because they just talked about Idrisi, the geographer. So I'm going to show you guys that map one more time before we move forward. Let me zoom in on the map. Oh, well, let me see. It's hard trying to do this with a pen. You guys see Lamlam right here, the circle right here to the north. Lamlam, this is where the reference to Idrisi comes from. He says it's 200 miles from Timbuktu. Now, Timbuktu, when we get to Timbuktu, Timbuktu is in modern-day Mali. And we're going to see that there, later on when we get to Timbuktu, there's going to be Jews also in Timbuktu. So now, yeah, you guys, if you got a wrench, be on your job. Somebody said there's lots of trolls. So now, I feel like we're making progress. Let me go ahead and take that down, and let me come back over to the Ancestry DNA. Let me share my screen again. All right, so far I'm keeping this together with two computers over here. So now we went through Ghana, put up a little information. Senegambian, we're going to look at Senegambia. All right, Senegambia. Where is Senegambia located? All right, so Senegambia is right over here on the edge. Let's see, right over here. And let's see if this picture will show it better. Senegal. Well, I'm guessing it might be Senegal then, and not, let me see, Senegambia Confederation. Like I told you, I'm not an expert at none of this stuff. I'm just over here learning with you guys. All right, of course, that's in the way. All right, so this is going to be the countries of Senegal and the Gambia. Okay, so it's a combination of two countries, I guess, Senegambia, Senegal and the Gambia. Did not know that. All right, I'll stop trying to mouse over that since it keeps popping up. All right, so over here, Senegambia. Now, let's pop over to blackhistorythebible.com. Let's see if Senegambia turns up anything at all. Pretty sure I got Senegambia information here. Judaism and Christianity present in West Africa before the transatlantic slave trade. Let's see. Okay. So Senegambia is here, and it's in the Cambridge source that we're looking at right now. Same source. So where is Senegambia reference? Okay, cool. So right here, John Layton Wilson was a missionary for 18 years in Africa, and his work, Western Africa, Its History, Condition, and Prospects, London, 1856, he states that in Senegambia, religion was a mixture of paganism, Judaism, and Islam, and that it is difficult to define the areas of influence of each of these three religions. In Northern Guinea, paganism and Judaism were closely intertwined, and in the South, there were more traces of Christianity. All right, so now, let me stop sharing the screen. So now we know in Senegambia, they had Judaism as part of the religion. And what did we just read from Cambridge? The rites and customs have to be considered when we're talking about what's going on. Now, let me see if I can zoom out of here on the screen, and let me see if I can use one screen to identify approximately where Senegambia is, or Senegambia is, without completely messing this up. So Senegambia is going to be around in this area here. All right, let me see. I made a small mark on there. I don't care. I'm not even going to try to erase it because I'm pretty sure if I try to erase it, I'll end up erasing part of the actual map that I'll need later. So ignore that one random line right there that I put on there. Now, Senegambia, you guys see, that's the general area of Senegambia. So now we have at least four spots in sub-Saharan Africa. Because, you know, they love to say, you guys are sub-Saharan African. You can't be Israelite. But now we have at least four spots where history books from universities and maps from universities tell us that there were Israelites in Africa. Give me a second to do some water. All right. Now, looked up Senegambia, Ghana. What else did we look up? Senegambia, Ghana, and Nigeria. So let's see what else we have on here. Give me a second to share my screen again. We're going to pop back to DNA. Thank you, Eric Kinsley, and Super Chat. Appreciate you. All right. And, yeah, if you guys have wrenches, please feel free to time out whoever you want to. Thank you, Diamond J. Rose, and the Super Chat. Appreciate you. All right. So now I'm going to pop back over. Hold on. Let me plug in. I have to re-plug in my tablet, because the battery is running low, so it doesn't die while I'm in the middle of this. All right. There we go, found it. All right, I had to find my plug. All right, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to plug this in. There we go. All right, get this off the screen so we can continue. And I'm going to show my screen, and we're going to go back to 23andMe. All right, here we go. So now, we pretty much covered sub-Saharan African just in general. And then down here it says broadly West African, and we know West Africa is going to be in this area generally over here. So sub-Saharan Africa covers all this area, which includes Senegambia. It includes the Lamlim area, includes the Judah area, includes the Falasha Jews exiled area. So now, we get down over here. Congolese and Southern East African, Angolan and Congolese, 10.2%. So let's see if there's any anything on blackhistoryinthebible.com for Angola. I'm not sure if I have anything on there yet. I might. We'll see. Nothing found on Angola. Congolese, the Congo. Let's see if we have anything on the Congo. Oh, we do have stuff in the Omnidex. Okay. Let's go to the Omnidex and see what the Congo. Here we go, Congo. What do we have from Congo? Oh, wait. We do have Congo information on one source. All right. This is from the Nautical Magazine, a journal of papers on the subjects connected. Let's see what it says. Barbote states in the reign of Don John II, usually King John, and about those, about the clothes, you know, let me go here. Let me go to page 529. All right, Barbeau states that in the reign of Don John II and about the close of the 15th century, so the end of 1400s, large numbers of Jews were expelled from Portugal and taken to the coast of southern Guinea. That the island of St. Thomas, which is not more than 100 miles from the mainland, was populated by mulattoes descended from Jewish exiles and Anglo women. It is possible that the Jewish type of character noticed at the Gabon and Layongo may have originated from this source, but if so, it is unknown to the present inhabitants of the country, and it would have been somewhat singular if the Roman Catholic missionaries at Layongo had not detected this circumstance instead of regarding them as a pure African family of Jews. So they probably resembled the people. The Congo and Angola, or Dongo people. So wait, what did it say on my DNA report? What area were we looking for? Angolan and Congolese? Okay, so this reference on Black History in the Bible does mention Angola. It says Congo and Angola, or Dongo people. There have been so many of the Congos and Angola brought to this country in former years, while still greater numbers have been imported into Brazil of late, that it scarcely seems necessary to give a very minute account of them in this place. It is important to remark, however, that these families in Africa cannot be fairly estimated by such specimens of the nation as have been brought to America. For the subjects of the slave trade have almost invariably been gathered either from certain degraded clans that are interspersed among the more powerful tribes or from the weaker and more debased individuals of these more powerful families, but of this we shall speak more fully in another place. All right, so a lot of slaves came from the Congo and Angola region. Now, all right, so this is a reference to southern Guinea. They're expelled from Portugal to southern Guinea and St. Thomas. So let's find out where southern Guinea is. Let's Google southern Guinea. You know, they don't call it that no more. Let's see. Oh, wait, I spelled southern wrong. There we go. Southern Guinea. Looks like this might work for what we want. So you have Guinea over here. And it's showing near the same area. All right, so yeah, Guinea is showing near the same area as Senegambia. I'm trying to see if I can differentiate it on the map. If I can find a bigger map, I'll circle it. But if not, we'll just leave it circled because that's pretty near the same area. I might be off a little bit, so I'll have to update the map when I can find a clear one, so I don't want to get stuck here right now. Yeah, we have a lot of people taken from southern Guinea and Congo and those areas. All right, so let me jump back over here. I'm going to continue. Yeah, let me go ahead and share my screen and show you guys the rest of this. Here we go. All right, so now, after we get over here, 0.5%. Oh, wait, I don't want that. Let me stop it. All right, African hunter-gatherer. I thought it was going to be a drop-down and not a link. And then 0.7% broadly sub-Saharan African. And then we're going to get down to 8.7% European. We're not going to get into the European stuff just yet because there's some interesting stuff in there I found as well. We have British and Irish, 4.4%. French and German, 3.1%. Broadly Northwestern European, 1.1%. And broadly European, 0.1%. So this is why this blue area up here is highlighted. The darker area is for British and Irish. The lighter areas are going to be for French, German, and broadly Northwestern, these light areas right here. Now, going back up just a little, the darker purple areas, Southeast African. That's the darker purple area. And then it shows all these other little areas right here to show you, you know, where it is on the map. I guess it would have been useful if I had used these from the beginning. That's actually interesting. So anyway, we're going to come back to some of these. Now, over here, 0.9%, so less than 1% Chinese and Southeast Asian, and that's going to be Indonesian, Thai, Khmer, and Myanmar. Now, trace ancestry. Over here, they just added this because when I first got it, the trace ancestry, nothing was showing up. So now, Northern Indian and Pakistani, and then over here, I have some assigned DNA. Now, this is all important because I'm not 100% sub-Saharan African. Let me close this. All right, I'm not 100% sub-Saharan African. And that is the narrative because when we get to GEDmatch on part two, one of the lies that was told is that we have to use a certain project. And when we go do some research on that project, it says it's only useful to people who are 100% African. But as you guys see, I'm not 100% African according to the DNA. I'm 8.7% European and 0.9% East Asian and Native American with some extra trace ancestry. So now I want to show you guys this real quick. Oh, I got to get a sip of water. All right, so now, excuse me, we're going to look at the tested populations now. I'm going to end this soon because I have guests coming on next week. I don't know who specifically yet. We're going to work out the time, but I do have guests coming on next week. Sister E will be one of them, prayerfully if nothing changes. Hail Ministries will be the guest too next week, prayerfully if nothing changes. Or not next week, next episode, if nothing changes. And I plan to do the next episode this coming Wednesday. So make sure you guys subscribe. So now it shows the populations that were tested. This is important right here because before we get into GEDmatch, and again, I'm learning a lot of this stuff as I go. I'm no expert, so I don't care if they make any attack videos and say Dante was wrong. If I'm wrong about something, hit me up and let me know because I'm still learning this myself as I'm going along with you guys. I'm just doing the research and digging deeper than I know a lot of other people want to dig on our behalf because you'll see that a lot of the opposition, they dig on surface level, and they stop, and they say, well, look, these people ended up here. So that means what you're saying isn't true. No, let's keep going. Let's keep talking. Because so far, I've uncovered every piece of my DNA that I've looked at so far, we found some kind of evidence that it's associated with either Judaism as a religion or the tribes of Israel as a people. So now, the 227 tested populations, we're not going to go through all of those at all. But I just wanted to point out the breakdown here. So now this is important because it does not test all populations. this is important because when we get to GEDmatch, you're going to see some stuff come up in my DNA that does not show up on 23andMe. And the reason that it does not show up on GEDmatch, I'm sorry, the reason that some stuff shows up on GEDmatch is because they have other populations that they test against. And some people out there would have you believe that there's a wrong way to use these tests when there's not. And I'm going to show you guys those GEDmatch emails because I wanted to get the information directly from them. I talked to Sister E. I talked to KO Ministries. But just like in Acts 17:11, the Bereans received what Paul had to say, and then they went to search to see if that's what they were saying is true. So just because I know Sister E and just because I know KO Ministries and I trust them to a large degree on a lot of stuff doesn't mean I have to take their word for it. Now, I knew they were telling me the truth, but I wanted to get the facts straight from the horse's mouth, so I contacted GEDmatch, and GEDmatch confirmed everything that they were telling me. So I'm going to show you guys those emails. So now, Sub-Saharan African, it shows you the groups that they tested. And here, it shows the breakdown that I just showed you guys right here, this whole breakdown again. Where is that? I want to see here. Yeah, they don't give you – oh, yeah, there's a reason I came here. Okay. So they don't give you any specific places – well, for me, I ain't going to say you guys might have it. But they don't have any specific residences in these areas where my ancestors live that they could pinpoint. Now, I think it's interesting they put the Melanesians on here. But let me come up here to European. Here we go. I have 0.0% Ashkenazi Jewish blood in me. This is important later because we're going to see whether or not my GEDmatch DNA turns up any kind of link to Jews or Israelites around the world. And the question is, how can I be a Jew or Israelite if I have zero Ashkenazi DNA in common? If the Ashkenazi are actually the people of the book, descendants of the tribes of Israel. So I'm going to look into that a little more. Now, I want to give you guys some homework if you want it. Hold on. And reference data sets. You guys can go in here and see the reference data sets, and it explains all this to you guys. You can look at the HapMap, the Human Genome Project, all this stuff, and it gives you these data sets that they tested against individuals, 280 individuals for the Nigerian test, 721 for the Congolese and East African test. So it shows you guys all of this stuff, how it breaks down. Let me tell you people they use for the Ashkenazi. 1,007 people they use for the Ashkenazi Jewish test to see if I had anything in common with them. So if you guys have had your DNA done, I don't know if you guys have read through all this. I think it's some interesting stuff. Now, my maternal haplogroup, we're going to talk about these. That's why I'm going to have KO Ministries on. We're going to talk about haplogroups. What that possibly means, we're going to look at a map that you can put your haplogroup in and see the map, see on the map where your haplogroup traveled from. So now, this right here, mine is L1B1A on the maternal side, and it shows that right here is haplogroup L. If every person living today could trace his or her maternal line back over thousands of generations, all of our lines would meet at a single woman who lived in Eastern Africa between 150,000 and 200,000 years ago. Though she was one of perhaps thousands of women alive at the time, only the diverse branches of her haplogroup have survived to today. The story of your maternal line begins with her. So now, my maternal line dates back all the way to East Africa, right here. So yeah, we're going to get into that. Origins and migrations of haplogroup L1B1A. It says 1 in 320 23andMe customers share your haplogroup assignment. So I don't know if that's rare or not. I don't know how many customers 23andMe has. 1 in 320 could be a very high occurrence. It could be a very low occurrence. But anyway, we're not going to get into this. We're going to talk about the Bantu expansion. Hopefully, a little bit with Teo Ministries. They've done more work on the Bantu expansion stuff than I have. So we're going to get in that the next time. So if you guys want to do some research on L1B1A to get a head start on that, you're welcome to. And then my paternal is going to be E-L29. We're going to talk about that. And I'll read this right here, haplogroup A. Now, see, this is what I was trying to understand. Kale Ministries explained this to me a little bit, but we're going to go back over this because I was a little bit unsure. But, yeah, it says the haplogroup A, the stories of all your paternal lines can be tracked back over 275,000 years to just one man, the common ancestor of haplogroup A. Current evidence suggests he was one of thousands of men who lived in eastern Africa at the time. However, while his male line descendants passed down their Y chromosomes generation after generation, the lineages from the other men died out. Over time, his lineage alone gave rise to all other haplogroups that exist today. Interesting. E, haplogroup DEM145. Okay, so they were trying to explain to me. Yeah, I'll let you guys, I'm not going to try to confuse nothing. I'm going to let them explain. I'm just going to read this. The first steps of your paternal line ancestors lead from East Africa north toward the Red Sea and haplogroup DEM145. So now they're heading north toward the Red Sea. That's up in Egypt and North Africa. That up that way, you see the arrows. So the DE lineage branched away from its brothers around 65,000 years ago among the first of our ancestors to cross out of Africa into the Arabian Peninsula. Most descendants of the DE lineage belong to one of its two branches, D and E. Men carrying D moved east into Asia, and those with E moved west through Africa and into Europe. Interesting. So they came out of Africa, moved into West Africa, Europe, and Asia. And then this one over here. Your path branched off again over 60,000 years ago, with the rise of haplogroup EM96, also simply called haplogroup E. This common ancestor of EM96 may have lived in northeastern Africa or in the Arabian Peninsula. Isn't that where Israel is? Interesting. Since then, his descendants have carried it throughout the African continent and into neighboring regions of Europe and the Middle East. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting when we get further into the haplogroups in part two. My goal is to get this done Wednesday with Teo Ministries and Sister E. I'm kind of having fun learning all this stuff. It's a lot of interesting stuff because it connects to history. It connects to maps. 485 people in here. That is huge. You guys hit the like button and please share this. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to talk about E1B1A, and that was one of the things I had questions about because we hear people talking about E1B1A, and then I had L1B1A, and I was like, that's interesting. I haven't heard anybody talk about L1B1A, but as I'm researching the areas of my DNA, I see that they're still linked with Israelite. So we're going to talk about some of this stuff, and prayerfully we're going to get somebody who does this for a living or, you know, something. I'm not exactly sure what their title is, but they deal with DNA. So prayerfully, we'll get somebody with DNA on in part three of this, but I want to do at least three parts to really take my time and go through this so we don't skip over anything. Because, see, what they do is they a lot of times, in a rush to provide evidence, our people will skip steps or skip information, and that's what the other side uses to try to twist our words, misrepresent stuff, or attack us. Because they hate any black people that claim to be Israel, and that's simply what it comes down to. They're not attacking our doctrine. They're attacking us as who we are as a people. It's racial discrimination. We can call it that because it's not only one race of people discriminating against us. It's racial discrimination because they have put together a group dedicated to harassing and attacking us based solely on our race or ethnicity. So we should really be, a lot of us should be pushing back on YouTube and other platforms to get them classified as a hate group. Because we see, and I'm going to show you guys some of that in the emails too, because GEDmatch did recognize some of their activity and made a comment that it seems like they have a race-based agenda or they're just racist. So I'm going to show you guys that email as well. So it's not just us that are seeing it. But yeah, excuse me, I have to take another sip of water. But anyway, I'm not going to go too deep in it tonight. I'm going to end it right there because it's a lot of information to absorb. And I know some of you guys have the same links to your ancestry, Nigeria, Ghana, and Gambia. that region over there. East Africa as well came up. Sub-Saharan Africa, as you guys can see, is the majority of the continent. That's the other interesting thing is they say we're sub-Saharan African, but if you don't know what that terminology means, you don't realize it's over 75, like 80% of the continent. It's considered sub-Saharan Africa. And we know that the Israelites mixed with people from those regions. We know that based on the documents that there was a presence of Judaism on the planet, on the continent, 1,500 years before Islam. It was in the western coast of Africa. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to get into DNA. How can somebody possibly be an Israelite or a Jew, if you guys want to use that word? Some don't. Whatever. I'm using it interchangeably to refer to descendants of Israel. How can somebody be related to the children of Israel and also not be related to the Ashkenazi Jews? 0.0% of my DNA. I've been talking to my mom about it as well. It's interesting stuff. Yeah, they are. They are trying to claim that we're using the tools wrong or that we're getting results wrong. And that's not how data works. Anybody that has done anything with data knows you just compare the data. If it fits, it fits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's really what it comes down to. And they don't like what the data is showing. And I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to run a few tests on GEDmatch, and I'm going to show you guys the results. I'm going to screenshot those results because I'm not going to share my kit number. I'm not going to share my kit number. So I'll screenshot those results, and I will black out my kit number and show those as screenshots. I don't mind showing the 23andMe Live. If you guys have questions about DNA, please submit your questions. I'm not going to answer these. I'm not an expert. I'm going to refer these to Teo and then the other special guests. If we can get that special guest to come on, I don't want to mess up their title, but I'll just say they deal with DNA. Give us a sneak peek of the GEDmatch emails. I'll give you a sneak peek. Go to Pastor Major's channel, Boom Church. One of the emails says similar stuff that they sent to him about the results being correct. That's the gist of the email. But I did go deeper and ask more questions and got a few more answers that I can show specifically pertaining to how to read the results. And I got them to specifically state how to read the results. So when you guys see stuff on other channels where these people are talking about the distances are percent, I won't say any names, talking about SNPs in the wrong context. I mean, these people are giving out all types of bad and wrong information. And so I did talk to GEDmatch. I didn't talk to GEDmatch about SNPs. I did talk to GEDmatch about those numbers on the distance, and they gave me a specific answer. All right, so if you guys have questions, please feel free to feel free to write those questions down so I can get them answered for you in the next two episodes. I kind of want to keep it at three, a fourth if necessary, but I don't want to do a fourth if I don't have to. I want to do these detailed presentations, and I want to touch on lots of the Jewish culture in Africa or the Israelite culture in Africa. Make sure you go to blackhistoryinthebible.com. As you can see, the Omnidex makes some of this stuff kind of easy, and if it's not in the Omnidex yet, you can search for it. Stuff is still being cataloged. It's a ton of information, thebible.com, to recatalog and get over. Yeah, the SNP thing was hilarious. For those that missed it, go check out Berean's channel for another night. Myself, Teo, Sister E, with G-Con, Alton, and Kevin G. That is probably one of my favorite episodes right now. So, yeah, if you have questions, I'll try to get them answered. For now, share this. Share this with everybody. Like, thumbs up. My mouth is extremely dry. I've been trying to drink water all day. And again, I'll be back Wednesday. Make sure you subscribe. If you guys want to help with blackhistoryinthebible.com, please do so. Please volunteer. We need more information. The more information we can get, the more complete the database will be. And like I said, it's data. When I typed in the word Senegambia on blackhistoryinthebible.com, like this, is the data. So if I type in the word Igbo, either it's there or it's not. It's the same thing with DNA. The data either is going to match or it's not. You have Ebo, and I didn't even go down to this, 1870, Ebo suspected to be Hebrew. It's going to come up here in the OmniDeck. It's going to come up here. Anything that referenced Ebos across the site is going to come up. And for those of you who are new to whether or not we're the people of the book, you can start the OmniDeck. Just find something that catches your interest. The tribes of Judah, Levi, Simeon, and Benjamin are going to be added later. You can pick by century. The exact dates, like very specific dates, are being added right now. So little by little, we're filling in the gaps. Again, a lot of information hasn't been cataloged. So as that gets cataloged and added to the site, more dates will pop up. Areas of Africa, landmarks, people groups, the Middle East is getting cataloged. Different continents, South America, the Caribbean, Europe, North America. We're going to have evidence by U.S. states. Just waiting for the conclusion of Pastor Kelly's pews before I start adding the information from Savannah, Georgia, but that will be on here after Pastor Kelly gets done with his presentation from the pews. If you guys want to just search by university, you can pull up all the information from the university. If you only want to search by racial description, those are being cataloged as well. Topics such as DNA, if you only wanted to say pull up DNA, we'll just pull that one up for a second. If you wanted to click on a religion, Ham, Shem, Japheth, other names like John II that keeps popping up, Eldad, the Danite, Leo Africanus, Tacitus, Titus, or historical events like the Inquisition. DNA, you pull up DNA, you're going to get this. The origins of the Limba, Black Jews of South Africa. Right here, evidence from P12, F2, and other Y chromosome markers. A substantial prehistoric European ancestry among Ashkenazi maternal lineage. Genetic roots of Ashkenazi Jews. Finds Ashkenazi genetically European. DNA back to tribes, traditions of early descent from the Jews. So, yeah, it's all kind of information on blackhistoryinthebible.com. I know you guys probably couldn't see that because I didn't share my screen because I forgot to. But anyway, yeah, all that stuff is on the in the OmniDex. I got to get used to doing this again. Thank you, Melinda, 1973 in the super chat. Appreciate you. I didn't see all of these chats come up because I was looking at my other screen, not realizing that I did not share with you guys right now when I just did that. So anyway, thank you guys for coming out tonight. I'm done. I've been rambling on. Appreciate you guys' time. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And with that said,
all right, we're at 8:39. Everybody still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Here. Let me find y'all. Good.
I'm still here.
Okay. All right, amen. So, he used this DNA report to go back and match in documented history whether there were Jews in those areas, documented Jews in those areas, that it says that he, you know, his ancestry is from. And, you know, he makes a good case for you to, you know, if you're using history, and documentation, then he makes a good case that, is it a good chance that he has Hebrew blood in him? Okay, now this is my, can you see the screen there?
Mm-mm.
All right, this is my DNA report. Again, Nigeria, Ghana, African Southeastern Bantu, Cameroon, the Congo, all the places that he just mentioned, and in different percentages. And I think he said his said that he was 87% off the African continent. Mine says 90. And so before I ever even got this DNA test or knew, you know, specifically where the DNA said it came from, the Most High had already told me, who, you know, that I'm one of the people of the book. and one of his people. And the DNA and the history just keep pointing back to that. So things go around in a circle. Being in my bloodline from Great Britain, I think he had some of that in there in Ireland. And but he's also showed, I think, toward the end, where these HAP groups, their bloodline groups, that they can track through the, like the Y chromosome of the father, how they migrated from one place to another. And so it showed that we migrated from Africa. Some of us migrated from Africa up into what, Europe? And that Europe originally was black. That's also known as well. That a lot of Europe was black, and it was not the way we see it today. Anyway, did you learn anything? Don't everybody speak at once.
Yeah, it might be a good thing to get your DNA test.
Yeah, I think you're going to find it. It's probably pretty close for all of us. And then, you know, using this site, blackhistory.com, then you can find, they've done a lot of good research to show that, you know, the who were making these maps, the people who were doing the exploring, they are the ones saying that there was Jews in that area. And they are the ones saying that the Jews were black. You know, and they are the ones that you know, it's not until recent history that they've tried to hide this from us, okay? Because they don't really want us to know, well, we came and got you from West Africa, and we got you from the slave coast. But they never wanted us to know that our roots there, they would just tell you that you're what, African? But Africa is a what, continent?
Yeah.
It's not a single country, but clearly made the case for that. There are, just by history and the bloodline, if your ancestry shows that you come from that area, that there's a good chance that you got at least some Hebrew blood in you. You may not be 100%, but you got some. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, I think he has a part two to this. We won't do it tonight. Now, was it, because I got pretty quiet, was it difficult to understand what he was saying?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Now, if you live in Minnesota, you might be Eskimo.
You're right.
So, you might have to reassess. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, I love his you know, I love that he's so studious about doing, you know, and he's just up front and he tells you, hey, like tonight, he says, hey, I don't know all about this stuff. And, you know, I had to ask other people, and we always have to, we can't be experts in everything.
Right.
And my oldest sister did our family tree. So this is on Ancestry.com. And I'm still trying, you know, I can't. We're trying to fill in the stuff about my father. Can't find, you know, a lot of information on him and his side of the family. But my mother's side of the family, heck, I think we went back into the 1700s. on you know, on them, and then let's see, trees. So this is like, you know, the different people we found, and here's how, like I said, how I know that this is true, because we verified it, and all of us have taken DNA, and we didn't tell them who we were, but we came back as matches, and we know because we're still living. So say, yeah, that's true, okay? So, you know, a lot of people will try to talk against this, but for me, if you don't tell somebody who you are and you just sit in it, some spit, and they can tie you to somebody else, the science has to be, what, pretty solid?
Right.
You know, so I don't know what's up with this. But it's still wanting to... So all of these people I know personally, and it tied us together from my mother's side. Now my father's side, and then I think I was looking at DNA matches, because you have to go on here, and if they say that somebody has the same amount, you know, shares part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Like just saying, they found from one of my parents, they found 7,645 matches that we share DNA. Now, have we gone through and with from parent number two? So this right up here has to be from my father's side, and this down here is from my mother's side, because this is my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we don't share the same father. We do share the same mother. Okay, so, a lot of these people, I said, you know, I wish I'd known this when I was younger. I wouldn't be trying to talk to one of my own relatives.
Right.
But you never know. But the most I said, down to the fourth cousin, and you're okay. So they explain to you a lot of what they do. And I recommend, if you can afford it, you know, that you take a test. I did mine through Ancestry.com. A lot of people use 23andMe. I think there's another one that some people use. No Archonized Jew in my family, like his. So, my ancestor, it's been a while since I've been on here, so they probably want money for this, and I'm not paying them. They said they found one ancestor still, what, on the African continent? That means that this person took the test, and it matches to our family.
Mm.
And that's in Ghana. But this is the slave coast. This is where they came in, what, got the slaves?
Mm.
But he's showing that all through this area, Nigeria, Cameroon, Congo, Togo, Benin, the Ivory Coast, Guinea, Sierra Leone, all of this was occupied or populated with at least a lot of cities of Jewish people, okay? And they were black. None of these people coming back white.
Right.
So, and then I think he said it, they had found documentation that the Ashkenazi Jew, where is their ass from? Europe. Not even from the African continent. So, I got somebody in Australia. But yeah, I recommend that you go and, if you can afford it, go and take your test.
That's what I was thinking.
And,
well, why would you go?
You can just go to one of these sites like Ancestry.com or 123andMe, 23andMe, and order a test. They'll tell you how much it costs. They'll send it to you in the mail.
Oh, okay.
And then you just mail it, put it back in the mail.
Okay.
And then they'll do your DNA and tell you if you're American Eskimo or Blackfoot Indian or
whatever. Okay. Well, I never got one done.
Amen. Haven't. A lot of us have. But, you know, you just get into a vial and send it to them. Mm-hmm. And they run it and then see how many people you match up against. And if you ever do any studying, like I did do some research on DNA, and finally, I said I was going to show you guys a movie one day, didn't I? Called The Journey of Man. I wonder if that's on YouTube. Let me look. I think I got it downloaded on my computer because I bought it. Yeah, this is the one right here. Maybe we'll watch this one sometime. Now, they got the whole thing on here. You couldn't hear that, though, could you?
No.
I think I'm going to download it, see if I can download it. Mary, you awful quiet over there.
You might be asleep.
Oh. No,
it's not bedtime. I'm not asleep.
You sure? You sound kind of asleep. So like you just woke up and said, I'm not asleep. Like it did. I might be able to get this. Okay. Tools, media information, copy, back to the internet.
Information that will surprise you. For the past 15 years, scientists have been using cutting-edge technology to investigate your family history. We've been delving into your past, and we've discovered something incredible. It's time we shared it with you.
A long time ago, your family were on the brink of dying out. Yet somehow, against possible odds, they managed not only to survive, but to become the most successful people on the planet. How come with me. Nothing is something that will change your view of the world. The story of your family, how they conquered the earth.
Download this and we will look at it. I'm just going to minimize that. We'll look at this next time. Just so we can understand the science of it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that being said, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go for the evening. I know you're tired, and Sister Mary over there pretending not to be asleep. Sister Lorraine talking on the phone.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
All right, so we will listen to this and look at this video next week, and then we'll pick it back up next week with, I think, part two of his DNA test.
Okay.
But this video, The Journey of Man, will explain to you what they did and how they even came into this technology and how they're using it. And so you get an understanding of, you know, how it works. Okay, with that being said, Sister Denise, will you pray us out?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this acknowledgement. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Brother Miles, Sister Mary, and Sister Lorraine. And Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we won't meet again until Tuesday. Don't have a farmer's market tomorrow, and that's a good thing. You know, I have some things to sell, but it gives me a chance to do some things in the grow room. I started growing sprouts in, like, big 64-ounce jars, no, 128-ounce jars. I'm going to take a picture and send one of the Sennel Greek. It's trying to grow 128 ounces of Sennel Greek, filling up this jar, and I'm just amazed at it. The other ones, their sprouts are smaller, but I'm working on, I need to look and see if I can find pictures of, actual pictures of these different plants and sprouts so I can see how big somebody got them to grow, or if I got to, you know, maybe I have a wrong expectation. And they're just naturally tiny because seeds are really naturally tiny. But, you know, I want to see if I can get them bigger. If not, then it is what it is. But anyway, love you all. Have a blessed evening. And go and fight with your pillow if that's what you're going to do.
All right. That's all what I'm going to do.
Amen. May your pillow win. All right. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
No music tonight because the broadcast already ended.
No music?
No music.
All right.
Somebody can sing the theme. Can sing the theme if they want to.
No, that's okay.
I knew somebody knew it. All right, peace and blessings.
All right.